quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we're broadcasting on the Enseada Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the Enseada Coast Salish territories of the Ketse, Kwikwetlem, and Stola First Nations. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie. On this week's episode of Typically Tuesdays, I am yet again telling you about why I am a staunch supporter of the sect of human beings in the world that believe that capitalism is completely and inherently antithetical to the human condition. Being an anti-capitalist on today's episode because I have sustained an injury. I've actually sustained multiple injuries that have left me in a state of constant realization. This is more than the burnout, by the way. This is a physical, these are several physical injuries. And I was kind of exploring this concept and this of being in a state of physical unwellness while being a person living in capitalism. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. To put very, very simply, on the playlist today, this has nothing to do with my Spotify Wrapped. I'm not going to go into that. But it is yet another amalgamation, a mix and match, a trail mix of songs that I've been listening to throughout the week. It's an interesting playlist, I think. It's got so many things. Never a dull moment. Enjoy. Making my way through the Transa album very slowly because it is, after all, a 4-hour album. Here is a track off of that record. This is Anaja, Gary Gunn, Know Who You Are at Every Age.
Yeah. protect our migratory birds, it's vital that we understand their behaviors, both during the breeding season in North America and when they migrate to the Neotropics, a region that includes Central and South America and the Caribbean. But as a 2023 journal article explained, our understanding of these separate worlds is very uneven. Historical and systemic barriers have hindered the progress of critical research by local neotropical scientists and conservationists for centuries.
95% of the literature is done in the north in the breeding season. We don't know much about what happens to those birds in the non-breeding season or during migration. And it creates a lot of misconceptions.
Mexican ornithologist, professor, and contributing author Ernesto Ruelas Inzunza says that those misconceptions add to the dominance of northern ornithology and limits the quality of work available to scientists in the Neotropics.
With birds that do these amazing migrations and then come and breed in a matter of a few weeks and then start their migration again, you start looking at these very fast-paced birds, and then you come to the tropics and you see that life is slower. The existing paradigm is that birds must be a fast-paced organism, and we're not willing to consider the idea that the basal state may be the slow-paced one.
Learn more about the importance of neotropical ornithology on the new season of Bring Birds Back. Available now in your favorite podcast app or at birdnote.org. I'm Prabita Saha.
Jungle. گوش من بخونه، قصه اش تو گوش من بخونه، هم نامه خبونه هم آفت چونه، هم بودی گرونه هم قدرم ندونه ندونه ندونه، دور و درنگه هم خیلی زرنگه، هم درش سنگه هم با من بجنگه بجنگه بجنگه. از این چیزاش خبر دارم اما چی کنم دوستش دارم، از این کارش خبر دارم اما چی کنم دوستش دارم.
Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. You just heard Fatina with Namikh Rabun. If you speak Persian, please get in touch at Typically Tuesdays on Instagram. Let me know how to correctly pronounce the words. Before that, you heard Masaya with Dora off of his latest album, Coming and Going. My name is Leslie. Do you ever cry because of capitalism? I do. I do it a lot. In fact, I do it quite frequently. I am that girl. And recently, I sustained an injury that made me hate capitalism all the more. I recently fell down the stairs in my home. And thankfully, no injuries that were like super duper serious or anything like that. No fractures, no broken bones, no concussion. I don't think I have any like internal bleeding or anything like that. But I did pull like multiple really bad sprains, like on both sides of my body somehow. And essentially, every part of my body, collarbone down, is bruised. It's pretty awful. But the day that I had fell was also a day that I was working from home. You know, a deep privilege that not a lot of people get, not a lot of workers get. And you would think like, oh, maybe you're working from home, you're not like as stressed out. No, that's untrue. In fact, I'm at this part in my job for whatever reason where I am falling extremely behind on multiple different projects and tasks, and I was really stressed out that day. And as I was, you know, recovering from the pain of the initial pain of falling down the stairs and trying to check if I had like any broken bones or anything like that, I am, you know, tears are running down my face because spraining multiple parts of your body is actually quite painful. But I realize, okay, I don't have to see a doctor immediately. Things are okay, thank God. It dawns on me that I have to go back to work because I am not in such a horrible shape that I can't type on my computer, and I begin to cry. I begin to cry again because that is the level of indignity that capitalism puts you through, right? You are not hurt enough. You are not in a physically bad enough state, get back to work. Get your butt back into the chair. That is so dehumanizing. And this is not just me talking. This is the productive work ethic society that has conditioned me and probably you and many other people. Even when we try to resist against it, sometimes we accidentally fall back into old patterns, and we have to take a moment to be like, whoa, actually, that's really messed up that I think that I don't deserve to rest right now. I'll talk a little bit more about that after this music break. Coming in hot with a new track, this is Niloufer Yanya and More More with Like I Say, I Run Away.
We'll be right back. is BirdNote. In 2011, biologist Brett Harvey wanted to study which predators might be nabbing trout from a California stream. So he tethered small live trout on a fishing line, turned on his cameras, and let nature take its course. Most of the predators caught on camera were the usual suspects: kingfisher, heron, otter, raccoon. But one was a stunning surprise. The western screech owl, a small owl about 8 inches high of western forests. They were videoed snatching the hapless trout in their talons, and it wasn't a random occurrence. In this particular study, of all the trout predators, only kingfishers snagged more fish. It turns out screech owls are opportunistic diners. In the Pacific Northwest, they'll prey on small birds, crayfish, large ants, or earthworms. In Arizona, pocket mice and pack rats. While in Ohio, biologists that noticed a fishy smell around eastern screech owl nest boxes found the remains of dozens of shad. Further evidence that screech owls may be a consistent nocturnal predator on fish, especially in cooler months when other prey are dormant. But if there's a prize for screech owl hunting, it must go to one individual in Idaho, which managed to stuff an entire 1.5-pound rabbit into its nest box. Pretty good for an owl that weighs in at around 6 ounces. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein.
I'm not afraid of the dark.